Everyone, it's your girl Ayana,
and this is Delilah,
and we're the non-corporate girls checking in for episode 36.
Yes, and we have Mr. Mark Clennon is a digital advertising professional turned photographer, aka a non-corporate guy, who specializes in lifestyle, editorial, and festival photography. If you scroll through his Instagram, his aesthetic evokes emotion, and so it's no wonder he creatively pushes himself to capture internal emotions that are hard to describe with words. Those are his words. From his images, we are able to paint a story. And so we have here, live, Mr. Mark Clennon.
Hello, hello.
Thanks I felt like I was like on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. Like, that introduction was so lit. I appreciate
it. I'd be like loving to intro our guests.
Yes, I'm a non-corporate guy, but I still do accept corporate checks if you're writing them. So.
Absolutely. And we want all the bags to be secured. Yes. And we're going to get into why we call Mr. Mark a non-corporate guy, because he very much embodies that. So we will start with this first question of how do you transition into photography? Like, how did that happen? And what was the hardest part of that transition?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I didn't plan on becoming a photographer. It's not something I grew up thinking I was going to do. And I think I found photography like a lot of other people find photography with the iPhone.
Okay, so it wasn't like at an early age. This wasn't even a thought.
No, I mean, I've always had, like, I had an eye for design. I worked as a graphic designer in the past in college and stuff,
so
like
making
club flyers and all that stuff like that. But I just wanted my gram to be lit. And I started trying hard with the iPhone. I'm like squatting with the phone. It's like an iPhone 4 or 5 or something like that. And like people are like, oh yeah, your photos are really good. And photographers are telling me, oh, you should like try photography. I'm like, yeah. And then like it wasn't until 2016 where I'm like, you know what? Let me just really do this. Wow. Like try it for real and see where it goes. And you know, it's been a very long but short year and some change to get me to this point. Yeah.
It's fairly new, 2016.
Yeah.
What, like, in the beginning, because I know, like, apps were a thing to help, like, get your photos popping. Mm. Was there a transition from the apps you use then to the ones you're using now? Or are there some, like, go-tos that have always, like...
Yeah.
Your photos.
Yeah.
You know, I put a little sauce on the photos. So the VSCO, I don't even know how to pronounce it, VSCO cam.
Oh, yes, I have.
Like everybody.
I feel like, do you think it's user friendly?
I'm not sure. I mean,
well, he's a photographer.
Yeah, I'm
a photographer. Well, now you've gotten better with it, but for someone think, who like goes into that app, because I've been recommended VSCO, and I'm just like,
I think it could be more intuitive.
Okay.
I really do think it could be more intuitive, but like once you get it, you can do a lot of things with it. So I was using VSCO then. I use VSCO now when I'm editing on my phone, but most of the time I'm editing on my computer. So VSCO started actually as a filter for your desktop, like for the programming, for the editing apps like Lightroom. It started there, and then they brought it to mobile later with the app, and it got really popular. So like the original VSCO presets are actually for the desktop. So I do use those from time to time, or pretty often, to edit my photos still. So I still bang with VSCO. Sometimes I edit like in the Instagram app because they have a lot of different options and stuff like that. So yeah, I do whatever I can find. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Do you mostly edit through your phone, or do you really take it onto your laptop and like spend
time? Mostly I edit on my laptop. But like I have Wi-Fi on my camera, on my SD card. So if I'm at a brunch, I always have my camera on me. It's in my bag now. So I'll take some pictures of my homies. I will edit them real quick on my phone and shoot it to them as like a parting gift so people like me, right? So I do like, so a lot of times when my friends have pictures that I took of them, I edit on my phone because it's like a real quick thing. But when I have like a photo shoot, you know, I'm doing it all, retouching
intense,
and all that.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what was the hardest part about you transitioning? Because for those people who don't know, you worked in corporate America, right?
Right, I worked.
And that's why I called him a non-corporate guy.
Yes,
like he is what we stand for.
Yes, yes, gang, gang. So, I mean, at first it was a hobby, and I started taking it very serious, and it got to a point where I wasn't having any time to myself. I didn't have any time to like sleep, really. I would do shoots after work, edit it at night. I had shoots before work, sometimes 6 sunrise. I had shoots at lunchtime. So really just like, managing my time was like the hardest part, and really getting the confidence to explore and expand my creativity to make sure I'm differentiating myself from other photographers. So I think that was the hardest part, of just staying on task and making sure that, you know, I'm doing good quality work and also killing my regular 9-to-5 job while also building a name for myself in the photography space and garnering more regular clients so I can kind of make that transition to full-time a little bit easier.
What was that job that you had in that, like, where did you come from?
So I was an advertising account executive at AOL on the digital side. So I was working with a lot of third-party publishers like CNN, Fox News, CBS, helping them monetize their site, Blavity, helping them monetize their sites online. So you have a website, you want to put ads on it. How do you do that? You talk to me and we can help you plug you into some of the top advertisers in the digital space.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that you really wanted to hone your craft and set you apart from other photographers.
Right.
So what does set you apart from other photographers?
You know, I think everybody has something of value. Everybody's unique. And what sets me apart from other photographers is my story, right? So, you know, I look internally to my own feelings when I come up with my creative projects and tell a story that's specific to me. And my goal is to really raise other people's self-esteem. So a lot of times you see somebody smiling, oh, that's a beautiful black person enjoying life, living life, that makes me feel good. But also, like, this is a somber, introspective photo about anxiety, and I have anxiety too sometimes. So that also raises people's self-esteem because I'm not in this alone. Like, I have these feelings, and these feelings that I'm portraying in my images really resonate with people on both sides, yeah.
You're a visual storyteller.
Yeah.
And even on your website, like, I felt like it's so poetic.
Mm.
That was like, he's word. A poet.
Yeah.
And I was looking through your Instagram and, like, just that aesthetic of how, yeah. like I said, mm-hmm. in the bio that I wrote about you, like, you can see the way you capture things. I don't know if it's just that, because a lot of them seem like headshots and mm-hmm. portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you see the story and the differences of each of the people, like,
right.
you capture. And
yeah.
that alone, like, is a story.
Is telling,
yeah.
Yeah,
you can't. So a lot of them are festival shots, which I'm a little bit less excited about on my Instagram, but I have to do it to garner attention.
Really?
And
those are not, like, your favorite kinds?
No, not at all. I mean, no.
Really?
Okay, so.
Is it the hecticness of getting them?
No, I think, okay, so, like, I love a photo, and I'll post it on my Instagram,
mm-hmm.
but. Where I am creatively is a little bit outside of what I've been posting at these events, but events are great because events like Curl Fest, Afropunk, like
yeah.
I love being in those spaces and mm-hmm. capturing that energy, that very specific energy that you can only get at Curl Fest.
There's so much to tell there.
That you can only get at Afropunk,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a situation where these people are there to get their photos taken. So it's a much different dynamic. Whereas if I'm taking a regular portrait, every portrait that I take, there's a conversation that happens, right? So that conversation is probably the most important part, that the stuff that happens the 15 to 30 minutes before I take the photo that really generates the vibe and really gives me a lot of information about the personality. And then I sort of edit based on the conversation that we've had or the
like
vibe.
Like
what
they want this finished product to
right,
look like.
Right, so those are kind of like more introspective. And unfortunately, as much as I would love to, I guess after the podcast, I'll show you some of my latest images, which can't be released just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like a slightly different vibe, but it's very much so. I feel it's much more stronger in the storytelling department in terms of like setting a vibe.
Really?
So like, I just want to tell the whole story, right? Because we're, especially as black people, we're multi-layered. I'm happy sometimes, you know, I'm sad sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I'm lit sometimes, and I'm woke other times, you know what I'm saying? Or at the same time. So like, I want to, right. So I want to, yeah, I want to validate our feelings because our feelings matter. Right. So, that means that there's a huge spectrum, that I want to capture. So
I love that we're going to quote you on that. Like,
okay.
Validate our feelings because our feelings matter.
Yeah, that is good. I'm going to tweet that. I'm going to tweet that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so let's see. At this point, brands have been reaching out to you, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, you've transitioned from corporate. You are now, this is your thing. This is your brand. How do you prepare for these shoots? These shoots that you want to secure the big bags.
Oh, big bag shoots. Heavy bags. That's the goal.
I want to validate our feelings because our feelings matter.
Yeah.
I
like
sure.
that. That was off the top right
that
there.
Was,
I never said
that.
That.
Was like, we're going to roll that out.
I'm pointing to my chest, podcast people. I'm pointing to my chest. That came straight from the heart.
We're going to roll that out.
Right. Roll that one. Yeah. How do I prepare for shoots? I mean, I know how to use my camera already. But I mean, it's just simple things in terms of like making sure my equipment's ready. I'm charging my batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making sure I have all my, I bring like five,
right.
I bring three batteries, battery charger, even though they're all going to be full.
Right.
I bring an SD card and two backup SD cards. I want to make sure if something breaks, I'm prepared. Right. And then it's just making sure I'm meeting the client's needs when they talk about like what they're looking for. So I ask them, you know, do you have any reference images that you can show me that, you know, that can give me good direction? Mm-hmm. And it's important to have that conversation with a potential client or your client, right? Because the same thing, I want to capture the vibe and the spirit of what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that stuff that I was doing as account executive is managing accounts, which is managing clients, mm-hmm. which is asking those right questions. So mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of transferable skills
that I use in my job in terms of making a deck, properly composing an email, mm-hmm. right? Those things are all transferable. Now, I wouldn't be as good as a photographer as I've been without those skills. So when I had an opportunity to fly somewhere for work, I was also they flew me to LA for work. I'm also shooting in LA. Oh, now I'm a bi-coastal photographer. So like I'm making sure that while I'm at my corporate job, they're using me. I want to use everything that I have that they give me to benefit myself as well as the company. So like, any resources you have, like don't say I hate my job, I'm quitting right now, even though you might, but write down like what are some good things at this job that I can use right now to apply for what I really want to do.
And how can it service you?
Right, exactly.
How are, did you make specific contacts while you were there that you still carry through today? What were those things that stood out for you?
Oh yeah, well I'm shooting for my old company next week.
As a freelancer.
Yeah, as a freelancer. So, okay. Right? So that's a familiar check, right?
That's
I'm used to seeing that name on my check. So that's basically, you know, all the connections I made in technology. I'm shooting with Google, because I was in the tech space, I'm shooting with Google next month. So like that's a friend that I met at a tech event and we're cool and like, hey, we need a photographer. He knows me as a photographer, boom, boom, boom. You know, so it's been working out. Well,
how are you feeling? Like, I feel like a lot is happening for mm-hmm. you. How are you feeling? Like, do you ever get a moment to like take it all in, or is it just kind of you on the go? Because these are like, these are good things happening. Lots of credits.
Right. For somebody who, for other people trying to make the same transition, mm-hmm. is not like just, not that it's falling into your lap. This mm-hmm. is your divinity. This is your path.
Right.
But for other people who just be like, it's not happening this quick for me to leave my job and these opportunities are just presenting themselves. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like everybody has their own journey. Like, I tried other things. I tried to launch a website and like make money from that. I tried other things. I tried design. I tried making websites for other people.
Sounds like us.
Like, there was a moment where I'm like, I was working in design, I'm taking photos, you use Photoshop. Oh, I already have some of these skills. Mm-hmm. It's time to build my own portfolio for my portfolio website. I've built a website before. Oh, now I can use all this stuff for myself. Mm-hmm. There was just a moment where I realized, oh, everything that I've been doing is coming together for mm-hmm. this thing. So right. Let me try this. So the most important part of that is trying these things, like test the waters. Like, don't be afraid to pivot. Mm-hmm. And don't forget those skills you learn. If you spend a million hours trying to figure out how to get a t-shirt company off the ground, like, well, okay, well, now I have contacts of providers in China or whatever that might apply to something else, mm-hmm. like an event. So just trying new things and making sure I'm being intentional with what I'm doing in my time. And the number one thing that was holding me back, because I get pissed when I think about it, I should have started photography earlier. People were telling me, oh, I'm not. But the number one thing.
In its time.
Everything was a time.
Your time, not even in its time.
Yes, but like, I was afraid of looking like a beginner. And as a millennial,
oh my God, that's cute.
On Instagram, you see everything's prepackaged and finished and like, ooh, the glow up, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Like, you never see people working out, ironing out the details.
You don't see the behind the
right, because so you never see anybody being a beginner, right? Mm-hmm. So like I was afraid of carrying around a camera and not really knowing how to use it. Mm-hmm. And luckily a friend of mine, Gerard, he had picked up the camera as well, and I had like a partner to like carry around my camera with, and like I was less afraid to be a beginner. But like that was the number one thing that held me back, mm-hmm. and like slowed everything up. So I felt like I'm playing catch up. Like that's why I went so hard. Like I should have been doing this 3-4 years ago, and mm-hmm. just think of the place I could have been. So let me just try to catch up and like go hard, go ham.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's part ego, I feel like. And also it's like, nobody wants to show the beginning. Like this is why we rush things. Mm-hmm. You want to rush to be this thing, but nobody just became that. Like, you had to work toward it. You right. had to practice your craft.
Right.
You need to get better. I feel like be among the greats. Be right. among the ones that want to share their knowledge
yeah.
with you.
And I'm still learning. Like, I'm still taking L's. Absolutely. You know, I'm still just trying to figure things out. I've only been at this for full time for a few months. Like, not even 2 months now. So... a lot has happened, but like it's still, yeah, it's still mm-hmm. ironing out details, yeah.
Which is dope. I have a real quick one question. For the times when you do speak with the client and you're trying to create a concept together, do you ever find conflict in where your perspective is different from theirs, and how do you navigate that? Because you may see things one thing because you have the eye, but they may have a different vision.
Oh yeah, I take a t- I most of the like most photos I take I'm not a huge fan of, right? Mm-hmm. I take thousands and thousands and thousands of photos, right? I have like 500 on my Instagram, so like the percentage of photos I take to the number of photos that people see is probably like 1 or 2%, right? So like you have to be willing to compromise, and if somebody's paying me, I want to make sure they're happy.
Yeah.
I try to educate my clients, just like I did in my previous full-time position at my previous company, is like, you know, you're coming to me as an expert, and I'm going to consult you and give you my best opinion. But at the end of the day, if it's your dollars, I want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The customer is mostly right. And if there's a real conflict of like philosophies mm-hmm. or, direction, maybe I'm not the best photographer for you, but usually since it's such a visual medium, people are familiar with my work, and most of the time they hire me to let me cook, right?
Right.
But the collaborative process, I welcome it. I welcome those challenges because mm-hmm. a lot of times I come out with something that we didn't expect that's 10 times better than we both would have imagined. So mm-hmm. It's an open dialogue and making sure that you're sitting on the same side of the table as your client instead of across the table, right? Because
right.
it's a consultative project. Like, I'm here as a consultant, and I'm also going to be making your images, and I would love, you know, your input. I want you to feel happy about them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm like, I
want
to hire you.
But what kind of photographer do you want to be? Like, I want, like, you know, people go to Mark for these kind of photos. Like, you know, with Hype Williams, we know what we're getting in, you know, in that field,
like,
that
we know
he
his aesthetic.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is that for you?
Right. Oh, so this is an amazing question because I've been really thinking
yes.
about, I've been
I
thinking
can,
about like,
yeah.
What that is. The majority of my subjects are Black or people of color.
Mm-hmm.
That's intentional. I shoot everybody. Oh, that sounds weird. I photograph everybody.
In this,
I
you know, climate that
yes.
we're in,
right,
we want
right,
to choose
right.
our words.
Right. I'm gonna choose it, right? Because somebody can take that snippet,
right, and they forget
some,
everything else you
right.
said.
So yeah, I photograph everybody, but like, I just want to tell the stories of people who are underrepresented, whether that, you know, just underrepresented communities,
mm-hmm.
And I also want to take what I want to. What I would like to call an arresting photo, right? When I say arresting, it applies to like a gallery space, but like I wanna take photos of like where you're scrolling down the feed and you just stop, right? Or if you're walking in a gallery.
Like it just captures.
You're just like, oh, let me just have another
W-T.
Look.
Yeah.
Let me just have another look at it. And mm-hmm. Even if it's like, what is going on here?
But you wanna understand.
Right, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm more like, what's the story behind this image? Like. Those are the types of photos that I love
mm-hmm.
to see,
mm-hmm.
and those are the ones that I love to take. And I feel like, just like my music tastes, I still enjoy like all like festival stuff. I still enjoy like very artsy stuff. And I think mm-hmm. when I first started this, my goal, honestly, was to have a lit Instagram. I'm not ashamed to say it. Like,
right,
that was my goal. That was it. Like,
now at 13K followers and whatnot.
Okay, there's a lot more litter ones than mine. We're like full transparency. But like, okay, so, and then it was like, oh, I want to shoot the cover of Essence or GQ. I want to shoot like these billboards, and like I still do. Like, those are still goals of mine. But I think now, even more recently, like my goal is like a gallery space to be in a museum. For people to sip fine champagne
mm-hmm.
in their living rooms and brag about, this is from a Harlem-based photographer that's really dope, and I bought this photo for $5,000, right? And I just want to have like lasting images that really speak to people and spark a conversation. So when I say my goal was before, that was more of a volume thing, very large ideas, Black Boy Joy, Black Girl Magic, right? That's a series, right? But I think lately I've been trying to take very large ideas and boil them down into a single image, which is very difficult to do. But when you get it right, it's a very arresting image. Like, what does envy look like? What does regret look like? And like straddling the line between, I'm getting real artsy right now. I'm sorry, y'all. But like talking about like, so
we're in your world.
Yeah.
So like when I want to, you know how when you're trying something new, like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ready to start this podcast. And y'all know episode what, 30, what?
Six.
36. But like starting something new, like going to a job interview, going to that, you know, going on that date that you're like, I'm not sure. But like you have this like anxiety a little bit. You're like, whew, I'm a little nervous. But that's a good nervous though, right? What does that look like? How could I capture that fine line between fear and courage?
And excitement.
Right, and excitement. Like, what is that?
Like, all type the layers.
Right, because, like, people say anxiety, and I keep coming back to this word, and I know my guy's going to be about it, but, like, I keep coming back to this word because it could be a good thing. It can spark you to take action. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to let my mother down, right? I give me anxiety, so let me go ahead and knock this out.
Yeah, using it as a motivator.
Right, and then the same side of the coin, I'm not feeling it. I'm kind of scared of this, so I'm just going to stay at home. I'm going to stay home. Stranger Things 2 just drop. I'm going to just do that. Right? So, like, I want to tell those, like, inner feelings that are hard to describe, and I feel like a photo could. So that's, like, my new goal is to, like, make those artistic photos. But in the meantime, I love taking photos of people smiling and having fun and, like, and just really cool images, like, and test stuff around and experiment.
Dope shit.
Yeah.
Right.
The dope shit.
So with the whole gallery space, is that one of our questions is like, where do you see yourself a year from now? Is that fitting into the gallery space in a year, or do you have another idea for where the Mark Clennon brand will be a year from today?
Yeah, so a year from now, yeah, I definitely want to have a gallery in May.
Okay. Less than a year.
You got to set the dates. Yeah, you got to put the date down.
We are moving.
You got to put the date.
I love the urgency.
You got to put the date. I mean, it might be like a pop-up gallery, but put whatever pieces together to make it happen. Yeah. I had actually a gallery I'm so far planning ahead. I'm thinking like 2017 was last year. But I had a gallery early this year with 10 other photographers, but like a solo show where I can really control the space. But I want to fly internationally for gigs. I want to have an image that's on a Subway ad because I feel like everybody sees those.
Yeah,
and like, right?
You know that so outdoor
like,
advertising.
Yeah, so I want a Subway ad, specifically like a Subway ad because everybody in the city sees those.
Yeah.
and then also I have a goal of like monetarily. Like it's a stretch goal, but I want to do $12,000 a month, right?
We set up.
It's not a stretch goal.
Right, no. But like, I want to do $12,000 a month. Like, I'm setting like goals with numbers.
Yeah, right? That's how you have to. You have to have actual tangible goals.
So yeah, I want to do those things for sure. And like the thing about photography and freelance, you know, you never know where it'll take you. So a lot of it's open ended. But like, I have those pillar goals. Like, I want to do this thing. So what do I need to do to, you know, travel internationally and get paid to do it? So anything that I'm doing, if I'm deciding to spend time, how is it working towards that goal or this goal, right? Mm-hmm. So like,
being intentional.
Yeah, intentional. So like, okay, major Subway ad, international photography, expenses, everything paid, yes. what am I doing today to make sure that is more tangible?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly, more tangible today, yeah.
Oh, like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess we kind of know where you get your inspiration from, but where do you get your inspiration from? Like, have you ever, because you know writers, sometimes they get writer's block. Do you ever get, like, a block? I don't imagine you do, but.
Oh, no, yeah. I definitely get creative blocks, especially when I'm doing a lot of client work and I'm looking at someone else's vision. But, like, I get inspiration from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I see a little kid on the train playing with his phone, and the mom just looking at him like, I love this boy so much. And the kids just playing the game. Like, that inspires me. I got this thing where I got the NYC ID. It's free from the city, and it gives you free access to all the museums in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, I didn't
NYC
know.
The NYC ID.
Yeah, I've heard of it because it's like a plug, but it does give you, like, it offers discounts in certain places. Like,
yeah,
no,
it gives you free in all of them. Like, I got a MoMA membership the other day when I walked in. Like, oh, yeah, we'll write you a membership.
What?
Yeah, somebody. Yeah.
So, you guys got to, like, take advantage of their resources.
The NYC ID is free, and, like, it's super dope. It's super
don't
dope.
Say we ain't never give you nothing.
Right? Don't tell me. So I get inspiration from everywhere. Music inspires me.
What music you listen to when you're editing?
Oh, man. It depends.
I'm like, there's a range.
It depends. Right? It depends. So I have this one photo set that I did for my last gallery appearance, which was in June. And I was listening to the Damn album by Kendrick Lamar. And at the same time, I was listening to Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper. And I was listening to both, and I'm like, oh, these are both about God, right? Coloring Book is about, you know, God is good, bright and rosy, praise, thank you. And Damn by Kendrick Lamar is like, I'm scared of God. I'm sorry. Like, I'm damnation. Like, I fear God. Mm-hmm. But it's the same side of the coin, right?
Right.
So my project for that gallery, I was like, how can I flip that? Because that's dope. So I did, like, love. Like, love can be rosy. I love this girl. She gives me butterflies. I can't wait to see her. And the other side of that is, was like, what if she was devastated? Like, her brother or sister passed away. Mm-hmm. I never felt a pain like that, right? How can I be there for you when I've never even felt that? And the only thing you can do is just be present. It's like, I'm here. Right. I'm present. I love you. Right.
Currently going through that, by the way.
I'm right. Like, that's deep.
That's deep, right? Sometimes, sorry, I'm getting deep on y'all, but
No.
But like, so like, I'm here for you. I'm present. So I made a photo set called Heavy as the Hearts, where it's about a man just comforting someone who's going through so much, and he can't even relate to it. But I'm here, and I love you, and that's all I can do, and I'm here, right? So that's the other side of love, like, for richer or for poorer, to death do us part, right? So like those kinds of concepts, like, that was inspired by music. And most recently, I've been inspired by John Coltrane.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's classic. My friend was in the car. He played me this one song. It's called Om, and it's noise. It's just like him banging on different instruments. And I'm like, why is he doing this? He's one of the best jazz musicians ever. Like, why? And I've, like, been doing research, and it's very inspiring to me. So, like, I try to get my inspiration from, like, everywhere. Painting, a TV show, like, everything.
The world.
Yeah, just be present. Like, being present will, you know, give you inspiration.
I think that's the key to everything.
Yep.
Be present.
Yeah.
So that you can actually witness,
experience it, and take it all in and get inspired.
Sometimes I intentionally, like, I'll be on the train, and instead of being on my phone, I'll try to, like, just look at what's going on so that I don't miss them.
You ever forget your headphones and you just walk around the city like, oh man,
I have to face the world.
At first, like, whenever I forget my headphones, I get tight. But then when you do take that moment to have that pause, which we don't do a lot of, especially people like us who are creative in digital spaces,
try to zone out.
We're always involved. Yeah.
Very involved.
So, for someone building their brand, like up-and-coming photographers, what are some skills or talents they should, like, know or have to help them move forward?
Well, yeah, building a brand starts, like, on a person-to-person basis. The easiest way to build a brand and just build good rapport with people is if somebody took the time to host something, whether it be at their house or they host an event, and they invite you, just go to it. Even if it's, like, 30 seconds, you have no time, show up at people's events that they hold, because they put a lot of time and effort, and they're, like, nervous. Are you going to show up? Is people going to come or not? And, like, just showing up to the event and them associating your face with, like, oh, I didn't expect you to come. Like, that's, like, a great way to just build your brand, and just showing up for people and just being, like, a good person.
Yeah.
And trying to be consistent, like, and fight through those creative blocks, like what you mentioned. Like, sometimes you just got to keep swinging the hammer. Like, if you're a writer, you got a writer's block, just write about anything. Write about what happened today, even if you're trying to do something like fiction. Like, just right, and it'll come. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I didn't have any ideas about, you know, taking a photo concept to fruition. I just keep taking photos. I might find a new technique, and just staying in motion, because nothing will ever happen to you if you're not in motion.
Staying in motion. I like that.
Right, right.
anything else? Or you think those are the top three things?
About building the brand. Also, you know, yeah. Okay. Staying in motion, being consistent with your work.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram is great. Instagram is wonderful. Digital space is great. You know, mm-hmm. Having a cool website is also cool. But, mm-hmm. you know, word of mouth. It's been the best form of advertising.
Yeah. People to people.
And it's your friends. Your friends are like that inner circle. And like, people don't take you seriously until you take you seriously. Mm-hmm. Right? So like friends, okay, you're taking little pictures now. Okay, cool. And a couple months later, like, this looks pretty good. And then it's like, yo. So I told my friend about you, and you got to take that. Now I'm generating real word of mouth buzz, and now people are paying me, and then their friends tell me, and that's how I started. But your friends got to believe in you.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are busy. They don't got time to support you the day after you say you're about to launch this great grand idea. You told me yesterday, like, I can't, like, this is your thing. Like, yeah. I will support you, but now is not a time for me to be a customer at this time.
But
right?
That's what being consistent comes in.
Then, when they see you being consistent, like, oh, you're really doing this. I can see that you're taking it serious.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to take it serious with you, and I'm going to vouch for you because I believe in you, friend. But mm-hmm. you got to give your friends the opportunity. You got to show your friends. You got to prove it to them first.
That's a good tough love fact that's a good argument to the people who feel that they don't get supported.
Right.
I feel like when you show people that you're really doing what you do, because it's like, I could be your friend and support you and spend $10 on whatever you're selling, like whatever it is. But it would just be because I'm your friend and I'm just doing it. It's not really encouraging you to stick to something.
But a lot of it goes back to you not taking yourself that seriously. Because if you don't take, you got to take yourself seriously first before your friends take you seriously.
Exactly.
So you're consistent and you're like, this is my ish. Right. Your friends will come around.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I say that to say that just because your friend is not one of the first customers,
that's the goal, right? Support.
Exactly. It's right. Just like one of those things where like, but you did those other three ideas and I paid for
and
that.
And we know a lot of people who are like, oh, my friends don't support me and I've been doing this. And it's just like, well, what have you been doing though?
And how long have you been doing it for?
Right. And your friends also have their own projects, their own lives, and their own things that they need to do.
So are you showing up for them?
Like, yeah, I need you to be a friend. I don't need you to be a customer right now, mm-hmm. right? But like, you gotta prove it to your friends. Just like I had to prove it to my mother. Mm-hmm. My lady, I'm like, I'm gonna quit my job. She's like, oh, for real?
But the bills, what happened?
You see it. Yeah. You see me working. The people close to you have to see it. They'll believe in you. They'll buy in. Don't go too quick into they hating and not retweeting my mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah. Support is there. You just gotta embrace it.
Exactly.
So now, speaking of a relationship and getting that support in your partnership or whatever, like, what advice would you offer, or what has been your like experience with, you know, kind of, you have to put all the eggs in one basket while someone else is like kind of holding down the fort.
Right.
Do you feel like that pressure should be there for a certain amount of time? Like, when should you step back and be like, you know what, I'm gonna have to go back to getting a job? Because
I mean, I don't like asking people for things, especially money.
Yeah.
I think money can really take a toll on anybody's relationship, whether it be a friend.
It's crazy how much money can ruin
lives.
Yo,
right, man.
Crazy.
People fight over that.
The relationships with money that different people have is what can ruin it. Because for me, I feel like sometimes it's not that I don't respect money, but like, it's just so fleeting.
Uh-huh.
Like it comes and it goes.
Yeah.
And it is a negative and a positive having that attitude, because, you know, there's responsibilities that have to be had, but it's just like, when we come from a situation where like we're fighting for that next dollar, because it's not that we don't have the opportunity, it's just like, when they come to us, money, you don't try to put all your like everything into it just being about money,
right?
Which is why we've been in certain situations that we have where it's like, I'm trying to gain the experience, I'm trying to be in the room, mm-hmm. but all of that's kind of setting the bar low because we didn't put a dollar amount on it,
right?
For whatever reason,
yeah. I mean, this me quitting my job was not a spur of the moment decision,
right? Of
mm-hmm.
course not.
So I saved money,
but do you have the conversation? Like,
oh,
were you in a relationship
yeah.
with that?
Yeah, yeah.
And was that supported? Like, was there a plan for, like, all right, we know this is not coming in, so I'm going to hold this down? Like, was it an agreement?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's definitely an agreement. And I saved up, oh. right? So I can pay the rent for quite some time if I had no clients at all. But, like, in terms of going on trips and stuff like that.
That was a fallback on that.
That is just something I just have to be more mindful now, mm-hmm. right? Because my last job paid good. I never really thought about.
Yeah. We never do.
You know, I'd be like, oh, all right, cool. Y'all trying to do this? All right, bet. I'm going to book the ticket. Boom, it's booked. Whatever. Oh, mm-hmm. I got flight points. And I use those. So, yeah, I have to be more intentional. That's a little more thought that goes into it. But, yeah, like, it's business plan. Here's my plan. This is how much money I have saved. I have these X amount of investments. If shit gets, like, a little low, I still got X amount of investments that so I can get that money in 10 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's still my money. It's not like I'm cashing out my 401k or anything. Like, I have, like, regular stocks accounts. So, you know, I don't think it would have been kosher if I would just like, yo, I got $5,000. I'm about to quit.
Right.
No. Nah, so, you know, much more than that saved up. So, like, my lifestyle has changed, but it's not like a super drastic thing. But it's also like, I also need to be working to secure these bags because eventually I'm going to have to slow everything up if I don't keep going. So, like, I think at the beginning of the podcast, like, oh, how do you feel, like, with all this stuff happening? Do you feel proud? But, like, no, I feel like I'm just starting. I feel like I'm starting from zero, and, like, there's so many talented.
You're just, like, in grind mode.
Yeah, there's so many talented, amazing photographers with better connections, better cameras, better eye than me. Mm-hmm. And, like, now is not the time to be, like, celebrating me quitting my job because it's, like, go time.
This is work. This
go
work to
time.
Be done.
Like, I rode a little wave. Like, oh, everybody's like, congratulations. But every congratulation I get, like, oh, it's inspiring. It's, like, pressure because I can't be like, oh, life update, y'all. I'm looking for a job. Let me know. Shoot me an email, right? So, like, I just want to prove. I want to prove everybody that said, "Oh, this is great," right? So, like, there's a ton of pressure on me, and, like, I'm just going ham. Yeah.
I feel like I feel your pressure. Like, I feel the same pressure.
You see it? Yeah, yeah. So,
I get it. I see it. I see y'all. I just wanted to say. So, what for you is success? Like, when do you feel? And, you know, of course, money is always a part of that key factor, but for real, like, when would you really say, like, you know what? I'm good.
I'm successful.
I don't know. I don't know if I can put, like the freedom to do what I want. Mm-hmm. It's success. And, like, so I was in Peru a few years ago. It was way up in the Andes Mountains. And the Quechua people are there. There's no computers? No. They make their own clothes. Mm-hmm. They make their own tools to farm. And they're, like, showing us around the farm and, like, really, you know, just showing what they did. They're potato farmers. And these dudes were so happy and proud to show us what they did with these potatoes. And, like, I think it's just really about being in a position where you're happy with your friends and your family and you feel like you're contributing and benefiting. Other people are benefiting from you being around.
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody is searching for, that validation. So somebody find that, some people see that validation in monetary value, some people see that value in, like, community service, some people see that like creating art or just interpersonal relationships. So, like, I can't even boil it down to, like, a list of things that'll make me happy outside of just making the people around me happy to be around me and, like, and being able to do what I want to do without having money to be
freedom.
Because I feel like there are rich people that have no friends.
And unhappy.
Right.
Or, and I, you know, just be really trying to understand why.
Right. And I think they're just searching for, like, validation.
Yeah.
So I just want to be validated by myself, my friends, and, like, feel like we're all having a good time and I'm contributing and benefiting the people around me. No matter how big that or small that circle is. Right.
Yeah. Major key.
Dope. So, Now we're going to get into hashtag obsessed with. Gang, gang. So tell us, 2 days, you have been obsessed with something. What is it?
Oh, man. I already mentioned it was a John Coltrane
stuff. Oh, you
know. Apple Music. Let me see. Some other things that I've been obsessed with. I've been obsessed with Mindhunter on Netflix.
You the second person that says that?
He was like,
it's crazy.
Somebody else told me about that show.
I've never heard of it.
It's about like getting into the mind of like,
it's like serial killers. It's very dark. And I, you know, because I'm also like, I just started this freelance joint and like I'm working for myself. And I feel really guilty when I watch like more than one episode at a time because I'm like, I could be doing other things. But it's so good, man.
Oh, I think I'm going to add that to my list. I mean, it's already added to my list, but I'm going to get to it.
Add it to your list. Like save it. I like to save my like binge watching stuff for like long flights or long trips.
Okay, cool. Any trips coming up?
I'll be in Greece. Well, Florida next week.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. This weekend and then Greece.
Yeah, we put the plug-ins. You get to go to the Jay-Z concert.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. And then Greece the week after that. So like I got a long flight to Greece. That's when I'm gonna knock out Stranger Things. I'm gonna go ahead and knock that out.
Do it.
Oh my God, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I already finished season 2 of Stranger Things. I wanna go to Greece.
Yeah. So
I'm watching.
Those are the trips. Other things I've been obsessed with. I'm always obsessed with Twitter. I love Twitter.
Really?
Oh, that's the best. Twitter is the best.
That is different because
I've never heard this.
Well, what? I feel like everybody want to be on Instagram wave. So
no, yeah. Twitter.
And being a photographer,
but he's mentioned Instagram a couple of times, but he's saying he's obsessed.
No, my favorite social media platform is Twitter. It's even me being a photographer, Twitter is just too lit. It's comedy, it's
hashtag
news,
Black Twitter,
it's woke, it's lit, it's all of the above, man. I just love Twitter. So I'm always obsessed with that.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is This Is Mark C.
I gotta follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter.
What are you talking about over there?
I don't be talking about that. I'll have 10 tweets and you know eight of them will just be nothing.
You know,
but it's just fun. I'm there for the jokes, man.
The jokes be there all day, every day.
That was hilarious.
Tweets is watching.
Yeah. And he's just so excited about Twitter, though.
Too lit.
All right, so we're going to get real fun right now.
Okay.
We just have a couple of questions to get to know you better.
Okay. It's just like a speed.
It's called getting to know Mark.
Okay.
It's not that original.
Okay,
but
y'all have an evil look in y'all face, so.
One of them is, if you were not a photographer, what would you be?
Do I have to be good at it?
No, whatever you want to be.
It would definitely be an artist, or maybe like a painter, but I can barely draw my name, y'all. But it'll be some abstract.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite 90s jam?
Ooh.
Got him.
My favorite 90s jam. Mm-hmm. Tupac.
Oh, yes.
Checkout Time. That's a jam. We gotta go. You can slip it in there. Slip it in there for the podcast because I'm a terrible singer. So.
What is your dream photo shoot, or is it a person? Either a concept or person.
Or even a place where you would love to shoot at.
Oh, yeah.
A subject.
Well, no, I know who it is. Rihanna, yes.
Oh,
yes. Oh, wait. Or Beyonce.
Oh,
yes. That's like both for our, like, that's like yin and yang right here.
Rihanna, I know.
So both.
But Rihanna, okay, Rihanna and Beyonce, yeah.
Yep,
yeah. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What would your autobiography be called, and who would play you?
So I gotta choose an actor. I gotta like choose up. So I'm gonna, I need like good looking. I'm gonna do Michael B. Jordan for sure.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, that's good.
For the podcast listeners, I don't look nothing like him, so don't get your hopes up. And the name of it will be Netflix Presents.
So is Ava DuVernay gonna produce it?
Yes.
Nice.
Ava DuVernay and
Issa Rae.
Yeah, Ava DuVernay, cause she keeps it like serious. Yeah. I feel like it'd be a drama. My life would be a drama.
A drama.
You just got so serious.
It'd be a drama.
Wait.
I'm trying to get this name. It'll be called Lost, Found, Searching.
Ooh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Six episode miniseries. Exclusive.
Six episode mini.
Yeah.
What? Netflix, you hear this?
Yeah, Netflix, holla at me.
Yo. We put y'all on.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the last question is, blank sparks my creativity. One thing.
Blank sparks my creativity. One word, right? Mm-hmm. Conversation sparks my creativity. So, like, great conversation really does. But, like, a lot of times it's me talking with my friends or talking with you guys or just playing back what we talked about. Mm-hmm. Those are, like, the very beginnings of the ideas that I have creatively. So, like, it was a conversation about the damn album and coloring book that really got me thinking about it and creating that project. So, like, I definitely think conversation like other people do. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, can I just say though, if you ever do a shoot with Rihanna, you need to call me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It has to be Rihanna.
Okay. And like, I will let her.
Like, it has
I used to be a Rihanna hater, actually.
Me too.
Really? I didn't know that.
She's like, your neck snapped so fast. Like, really?
First of all, I didn't like Rihanna when she was on that reggae tip. Like, when she first came out, like, that.
I didn't either.
I don't think anybody is.
Good Girl Gone Bad changed my life.
Yes, when she came out with Run This Town with Hov and Ye, I'm like,
oh. We on the same page. And then
the Pondy,
Pondy, Pondy, Replay, whatever. Umbrella, I wasn't feeling it. But nah, Run This Town, when that video came out, and then Rude Boy came out right after that.
Listen, I just want to say
the Rude Boy video came out. I'm like, I love Rihanna.
Just keep that in your head.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So you know, whenever you see those pictures that are popping, it's Rihanna. You know, Mark took those.
Uh huh.
Whatever, we putting out the universe.
Just putting it out.
Yeah.
That's it. This is the end of
I wanna just keep chatting.
I know
this is so much fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure having you. And so in the beginning we introduced you, and now we want you to introduce yourself, how you want to be known, and what you want to leave behind to our listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey y'all, this is Mark C, aka I messed up. One take off. Hey everybody, this is Mark Clennon, also known as Mark C. I'm a photographer. You can hit me on Instagram at mark.c and markclennon.com. You can find all the rest of my social media. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on that note,
we about to peace out of here because we have something to celebrate.
Ooh. Bye, guys.
Bye.